If you turn back to Mark chapter 4, I've entitled this message, The Four Types of Hearers. When I was in Kingsport this weekend with Brother Gabe Stoniker, I told him I was going to try to preach on this passage tonight, the four types of hearers, the parable of the sower. And he said something that I don't remember ever hearing before that certainly resonated with me. He said, all four soils are in me. What do you think of that? All four soils are in me, present tense. The hard beaten path, the stony ground, the thorn infested ground, and the good ground. And I thought about that and I said, yes, I can see all four of those in me, present tense. Now, when we read that passage of Scripture, what was the difference between the good ground and the bad grounds? Well, if you were following along, the difference was fruit. The good ground bore fruit. The other three grounds did not bear fruit. Now, there are two things that strike me about that. Number one is if there is not fruit, there is not salvation. Now, that's so. Now, the second thing that strikes me about that is the danger of looking for fruit instead of Christ. As soon as I said that, everybody in here tightened up. What kind of fruit do I have? Start looking within, and that's always wrong. At all times am I to look to Christ only. And if I'm starting to look to see how my fruit is doing, to see what kind of evidence I have of being saved, I have left the gospel at that point. So I wouldn't in any way take away from the importance of fruit. No fruit, no salvation. And he's talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I would also warn myself and you, don't look for fruit. Don't do it. You're a fool if you do. Look to Christ only. The four types of hearers. Now you're going to hear yourself. I'm going to hear myself described. The four types of hearers. Verse 3. Mark chapter 4. Hearken. Lord says, listen. Wouldn't it be a blessing to just listen? All the cares and thoughts would be driven away by the Spirit of God and we just listen to what's being said. Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. Look in verse 9. Hearken. And when he ends up this part of the message, before he expounded it to his disciples, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, not everybody has ears to hear. That's a sobering thing, isn't it? Lord, give me ears to hear. I need ears to hear. And if you don't give me ears to hear, I'm not going to hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Now, if you didn't know the gospel, and if you'd never heard the Lord's explanation of this parable, would you have any idea what it meant? I wouldn't have a clue. I couldn't even guess. I wouldn't have any idea what it means. Verse 11, and he said unto them, The 12, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear audibly, but not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. Now, two or three things about those words. What a statement regarding the sovereignty of God in salvation. You've been given ears to hear. They haven't. Now, that just strikes me like this. Why me? Why me? And he also says regarding these people who don't hear, that seeing they may see and not perceive. Hearing, they hear, but they don't understand. Lest at any time, if they did hear, if they did see, if they did understand, they should be converted, turned, and their sins should be forgiven them. Hearken. Well, it makes me want to listen, doesn't it, you? Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and we know that that is a reference to the preaching of the gospel. What's going on right now? The seed being the word of God. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, the hard, beaten path. The seed could not penetrate that. And then the Lord tells us the fowls of the air came down while it was laying there and gobbled them up, devoured them. You can just picture that in your mind. It's the seed, but it doesn't do any good here. It's on the hard, beaten path. And then, verse 5, and some fell on stony ground. Now, the soil looked good, but underneath it were stones. The seed could go underground, but because of the stones, it couldn't take root. The stones blocked it. It couldn't have a root to gather moisture. And so when the sun came out, the rocks were heated, it germinated quickly. It came up quickly. People were amazed. How did that come up so quickly? And the sun scorched it, and it died because it had no root. It had no moisture. It had no way of receiving that moisture. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Where these seeds were sown was a place of much weeds and thorns competing for the nutrients of the soil. And the weeds choked these plant when it came up. It was not able to bear fruit. There it was, but it bore no fruit. Verse 8, and the other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, this didn't have the rocks in it. I have no doubt that it's ground that had been previously broken up so the seed could get in there. The furrow was there. And it took root. It was able to get the moisture and the nutrients from the soil. And it grew up and brought forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, we know that the disciples in Matthew's account says, why are you speaking in these parables? And I can understand that question because I try to put myself in their place. If he told me that parable and did give me the explanation, I could just see all the disciples looking at, what's he talking about? Anybody know? I wouldn't have known. But he said, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And all they're going to hear is parables that they're not going to understand. And I'm going to expound them to you. Verse 14. The sower soweth the word. Now, Matthew calls it the word of the kingdom. Luke calls it the word of God. But it's the gospel message. The word. The word, the message, from the word, the written word that reveals the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what is meant by the word. The word, the message. It's an actual message, a gospel message from this book, the word, that reveals the living, eternal word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Paul called it in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the word of the cross. You know where it says the preaching of the cross? It's the Greek word logos. It is the word of the cross. And I love saying this. I would like to think I came up with it, but I heard Henry Mahan say it. The cross is the whole counsel of God. I love saying that. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the whole counsel of God. It's the theme of the eternities. Before time began, before the creation of the universe, what do we know? The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And after time is wrapped up and eternity begins, what is the song going to be? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The cross, the word of God, is the full revelation of God's character. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, is the purpose of this creation. For the cross to be displayed. It's the purpose of the fall. I love saying this. The cross was not a response to the fall. The fall was for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is the whole counsel of God. It's the message that tells us how God can be just and justify the ungodly. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. That's the word that's being sown. The gospel message, the word of God. Now, all hearers hear the same message. The word of God. And the word of God, the gospel, this entire book made of 66 books written over a 1500 year period only has one message. And the only way you're going to understand that is if God himself reveals it to you. And you will not understand this unless he reveals it. The word of God. The sower sows the word. Now look in verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Matthew's account said they understood not. They heard the truth and they understood. Stood not. Now this is not a thing about IQ. This is a thing about revelation. If God doesn't reveal himself to me, if he doesn't reveal himself to you, we will not understand. And if I don't understand, I'll prove myself to be one of those wise and prudent that he has hid these things. I think of that passage where the Lord rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hid these things, the things of salvation, the word of God, from the wise and prudent, and revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, why is it that they don't understand? Why is it that they don't understand? Let me give you one reason. They don't hear as a sinner. Now, it really is that simple. They do not hear as a sinner. It's only as a sinner that you can really understand salvation by grace. And if you're not a sinner, and somebody says, well, I'm a sinner, I make mistakes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody who all you are is sin. All you do is sin. All you think is sin. That's what a sinner is. I'm not talking about somebody, well, I make mistakes. I know I don't always do the right thing. No, we're talking, it's a lot worse than that. You were born evil, and you're still evil. You know what I'm saying is so. Every sinner does. Now, it is only a sinner. And I love that song, "A Sinner is a Sacred Thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so." It is only as a sinner that you can have any understanding of the Word of God. It's only as a sinner that you need the Word of God. It's only as a sinner that you can respect the God of the Bible and be awed by him and reverence him and wonder, how can this God have something to do with somebody like me? But this person does not hear that way. And the devil will come and introduce something else to their mind, and it's gone. It's gone. How many times have people come here, heard the word of God, and walked out the door and never give it another thought? The devil has injected something into their mind, and it just wasn't important. Verses 16 and 17. "And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." They hear the gospel, and I'm talking about the true gospel, and they say, that's the first thing that's ever made sense to me. I see that the Bible actually teaches that. They receive it with gladness, not madness. You know, I tell you what, I'd rather somebody first get mad than get glad. Whenever somebody, I hate saying it this way. I don't want to be cynical, but you know, it's when somebody leaves this place coming for the first time saying, that was wonderful. I think, yeah, I got my doubts about you. I know I'm cynical, but it's more realistic than cynical. But at any rate, they hear the gospel and they receive it immediately with gladness. Boy, this is great. And have no root in themselves. They don't have that root that receives the grace of God. And so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake. Immediately, they're offended. Now, they hear this message. They like this message. They go to their mom or dad or brother or sister or worker and tell them what they believe. And they find out that they think, you're crazy. That's awful. That's it. They're persecuted. They see something is going to cause trouble. And they think, I didn't sign up for this. It's not that important to me. And why is it that not that important to you? Because you're not hearing as a sinner. If you hear as a sinner, it's of infinite importance to you. And you cannot take anything else. But these people hear the truth, receive it, but they are not willing to have any problems for the word's sake. Look in Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." You know, the word devil means accuser. Accuser. The slanderer. And if he was watching you for 24 hours, the last 24 hours, and he looked at everything you did, and he came up and slandered you before God and accused you before God and said he did this, 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 and this, would he be telling the truth? Yes, he would. Yes, he would. I don't care what the accusation could be. He could be telling the truth. Now, it says in verse 11, they overcame him. Even though he was giving all this truth, they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. You see, whatever accusation he brings is void and null. It's gone. It's not. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Can't do it. Who is he to condemn? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. But look what it says next. And by the word of their testimony. Do you want to hear my testimony? You want to hear my personal testimony? The blood of the Lamb. Anything else? Nope. Nope. The only way I stand before God accepted is through the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that precious blood. That's my testimony. You know any other testimony than that? I think it's totally bogus. I can't even stand to listen to them, these personal testimonies people give. Here's the testimony that is real. The blood of the Lamb. And look what it says next. It says they loved not their lives unto the death. You know what that means? That means the blood of the Lamb, the gospel of the blood of the Lamb, is a gospel worth dying for. You believe it is? It's worth dying for. And if you hear the gospel as a sinner, it's worth dying for you. Now these people who were on stony ground, it wasn't worth dying for them. You know, they could be bought. They could be bought. I didn't sign up for this. That's because the gospel was not precious to them. It wasn't all they had. If it's all you have, you can't give it up. Well, they leave. They're gone. They went out from us, John said, but they were not of us. For if they were of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. These people leave with a bang. They start out like shooting stars. Everybody's impressed with their religiosity and with their spiritual power. But it's going to flicker out right quick. I've seen it happen. Back to our text in Mark chapter 4. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. They hear the word. I'm talking about the word of God. And I have no doubt they profess to believe the word of God. They hear the word, and the cares of this world. You know anything about that? The cares of this world? You got a lot of cares of this world, don't you? The cares of raising a family, the cares of making a living, being a parent, whatever it may be. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Well, riches make promises that they can't keep. The love of money is the root of all evil, from which some have coveted after and have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The deceitfulness of riches. And the lusts, the desires of other things entering in. That covers a whole lot of things, doesn't it? The lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, this thorn choked hearer is a complete stranger to really loving God as he is. Loving his glorious attributes. Loving his way of salvation. There's no true joy for who God is. All the joy is based on how my circumstances are. They don't know anything about that peace that comes from resting in Christ only, knowing that he made peace. There's no long suffering because they don't understand that God is long suffering to them. There's no gentleness or goodness towards other people because they don't know anything about the mercy of God themselves. There's no faith, there's no meekness, there's no temperance. They do not bear fruit. But you know what's scary about these people? I believe they never leave. There they sit. There they sit. There they sit. I don't want to be one of those people, and that scares me. Can't you see where that could be you? Can't you see how easily that could be you? I sure can. Verse 20. Now, let me say again, the reason these people heard like this is because they didn't hear as a sinner. If they heard as a sinner, the gospel would be more important to them than the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world and the lusts of other things. It would be more important. And if I'm not hearing as a sinner, I'm going to see things as important or more important. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. They welcome it. They embrace it. It's good news. And they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, why is it that these men hear and receive the gospel? Because they're hearing as a sinner. And it comes as good news to them. They love what they're hearing. This is exactly, precisely what they need. You know who needs grace? A sinner. You know who needs Christ as all? Somebody doesn't have anything else. If you don't have anything else, Christ is all is mighty good news to you. Everything God requires, he looks to his Son for. If you really believe you're a sinner, that's the only thing you find peace in. That's the only thing you find rest in and rejoice in. You know, it takes a sinner to understand the need of grace. I tell you what, a real sinner is not going to have a hard time with total depravity because he knows that's him. A real sinner is going to love God's electing mercy because they know they won't be saved without it. A real sinner is going to rejoice and delight in the effectual, successful, definite atonement of Christ. That's the only hope I have is that Christ died for me. A real sinner wants grace to be irresistible and invincible. Now, to the fellow that received the word in stony ground, it was just doctrine to him. It's just doctrine. He wasn't hearing as a sinner. But someone that hears as a sinner, oh, it's a complete different perspective, a complete different understanding. Now, if somebody says, what do you mean by hearing as a sinner? I've got one word. Need. Need. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You know, as long as I'm feeling pretty good, you know, good to have a doctor if I ever need one, but it's not something that enters my mind much. But oh, if you're sick, it becomes completely different. Need, a sinner is someone who needs the grace of God. Now, Matthew says he understands what he hears. And a sinner understands the necessity of Christ being all, of salvation being all of grace. I even understand. I understand my need of the Bible being the Word of God. I mean, it's not just something I argue over or believe in. I have to have this revelation from God. Because I don't trust myself. What I think, I don't trust what you tell me. I've got to see it written in the Word of God. I need this. You need this. I love what Luke says. He says they receive the word in an honest and a good heart. This is the new heart given in regeneration. It's honest before God. It doesn't pretend to be what it's not. It's honest before God. It knows all it is sin. And do you know the only heart that knows that's a good heart? The good heart that he gives is the only one that can recognize what sin is in the first place. Honest and good. The heart in regeneration. Unlike the man who claims fellowship with God and walks in darkness. I think that scripture in 1 John, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in the darkness of salvation by works, all of our pretended fellowship is a lie. Plenty of people claim it, but we do not the truth. Mark tells us he receives the word. He keeps the word. He believes the word. He welcomes the word. Now I'm talking about hearing as a sinner. Listen to this statement. I made this statement a couple of weeks ago. I want to make it again. I love this. I believe this. The only thing that gives me assurance that Jesus Christ died for me is that I'm a sinner. How about you? You think Jesus Christ died for you because anything other than that? Well, I feel sorry for you if you do. But the scripture says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Therefore, I can conclude on the authority of God's word, he died for me because I'm one of those. Now, this is the only one who bears fruit. The fruit of love to God, love to his gospel, joying in the character and attributes of God, joying in his way of salvation, having the peace that comes from justification, being long-suffering. You know God's been long-suffering to you, and you know he's on the throne. Gentleness and goodness, having experienced the mercy of God, faith, meekness and temperance before God. Now, the difference between the good ground hearer and the other hearers is God's grace. And that is seen by how you hear. Do you hear right now as a sinner? Now, somebody may get irritated with that. I'm sorry. Sorry. I say it again. Do you hear as a sinner? If you do, you're on good ground. The gospel is for you. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would take your word and sow it in a heart that you've given, the good and honest heart that comes from thy spirit, that receives the word, that keeps the word, that holds on to the word, that believes the word. Lord, how we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. How we thank you for the word of God. Now we ask in Christ's name that you would bless this to our hearts for the glory of your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.